Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm joined by Kyle McKelvey. This week on the podcast, we're reviewing all the action from week three. We're joined by Ethan Groff, outfielder from Tulane, and we look ahead to week four in college baseball. Kyle, thanks for joining the podcast.
Of course. It's been a busy weekend for the college baseball world and for my individual world.
Yeah, I heard the brief version of it, but at least you made it out of Vegas without losing the deed of your new house. So congrats on that.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't lose that much money. I lost the least amount compared to people I was with.
small victories.
There. Yeah, that's a win in my book.
All right. Well, while you were out throwing money away, lots of great non-conference action in college baseball. We had the Shriners Classic. We had some pretty good baseball up in Frisco. We had some great non-conference series. But let's kick it off with a little bit of a discussion about the six teams in Shriners, because I think that was the premier non-conference matchups of the weekend. There was Texas, LSU, Tennessee, Baylor, Oklahoma, UCLA, all going at it. And it's a little bit weird. These tournaments, they never, you're not guaranteed to have a true champion of any of these tournaments. And that's kind of what we had here with Texas, Tennessee, and Baylor all going,
and UCLA
all going 2-1. LSU did a 1-2 weekend, and Oklahoma got swept. I came out of that weekend feeling very impressed by Texas. Texas did lose game three of their weekend to UCLA. They did that without Tanner Witt. He was scratched last minute for precautionary reasons. And it really does seem like there's no evidence that this is like a will lead to something more. So they didn't have their true Sunday guy, and they still managed to totally subdue Tennessee and LSU in the first two games. So Texas is still a pretty easy number one in my book.
Yeah. Was that, I mean, I think they had like one or two earned runs in the first two games. That was right.
Yeah. I think Tristan Stevens is still at the zero on the year. I think he restarts. I think what they gave up to LSU. Generally speaking, that Texas pitching staff has been the thing that has impressed, and they continued to impress. Now they give just one to LSU, 6-1 against LSU. So
and it was 2-Tennessee. Okay. But still, yes, that's an impressive holding that Tennessee offense to just two runs, something that had scored 120 both, runs in the year.
Coming to the weekend, both LSU and Tennessee were top 10 offenses, so it's a pretty good weekend for the Longhorns. I think I want to talk a little bit about UCLA. UCLA was a team that we knew heading into the year was one of those really high ceiling, low floor type of teams. And I don't think that's like on a season as a whole. I think that's on a weekend by weekend basis, because they have like 30 freshmen on the team practically. And all in all, Baylor got the best of them on game one. But after that, UCLA really came to play, and I think has really established itself as the top three team in the Pac-12. Like, I think that behind Stanford and Oregon State, I would put UCLA ahead of Arizona at this point in the season.
Yeah, especially with what Arizona just did this weekend. But maybe we should be a little bit lower on OU as a group. But I do think that UCLA did provide some big positives for the Pac-12 from that like kind of top end depth. You know, like making the Pac-12 look a lot better. Came back and blew out OU. And then beat Texas Texas's first loss of the season. I was flying during that game, and I was like, "Oh, Texas got that one. That's the easiest one of the weekend."
Yeah, yeah, not quite the case. And speaking of Oklahoma was the only 0-3 team. Jake Bennett, I think, had a really nice start for Oklahoma in game one, going 6 2/3 with just one run. But it's kind of where the good news stops for Oklahoma. It really feels like this pitching staff is looking for a couple of arms at this point to be able to stabilize things. Oklahoma is still lingering in the bottom of our top 50, I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, I'm not quite ready to tap the last nail in that coffin for Oklahoma, but I'm not liking the direction the Sooners are heading right now.
Luckily, they have a couple weeks to get right before opening up Big 12 play with Baylor. They got home games versus UTSA and New Orleans, and then one midweek road game against Wichita State before that. So that's they got some time to get ready, but yeah, it could be an iffy season for OU.
Yeah. So Tennessee largely took care of business, did what we thought they would. I think Baylor had an impressive weekend. Baylor, these early season tournaments is just like Baylor's jam. They did it last year too. I mean, they got swept at home by Maryland, and then now they've swept Duke and have gone 2-1 in Shriners. So Baylor is a little bit of an enigma so far this year, but you know what? Like, I feel like I've said this before on the podcast, Steve Rodriguez always does a job of getting Baylor to like a competitive point. And once again, it feels like Baylor should be somewhere on or near the bubble come end of the year. Can we talk a little bit about LSU? LSU had 10 errors on the weekend. Is that like how big of a red flag for you is that? I mean, it's a weird environment, I guess, playing in a stadium. Most of them have never played in before, but 10 errors, including 5 in their loss on Sunday. Should we be concerned for LSU?
I think that's a little bit of a concern. I would want to do some like some regression on like how teams who have like a certain percentage of fielding percentage like don't make it that far in postseason. Like I want to see that number, but like they still have a really good offense. I don't know. Maybe this team can, this offense can carry them like to the Supers, but what's going to mess them up is the defense if it keeps on this trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, it feels hard to imagine LSU's not going to average 5 errors a game. Like, I think this defense will get better as the year goes along. But yeah, like you're saying, your big bats can only get you so far. Blake Money did have a really good start. He went 6 2/3 and had one unearned run. But I think whenever your big question marks, maybe as a team, I mean, generally heading into the season, we're kind of where they're going to get that pitching depth from. You really can't afford to have a subpar defense because you're going to be making your pitchers throw a lot of extra innings and getting a lot of extra outs. So Shriners, I think, led to some pretty decent movement in the rankings in terms of maybe OU slipping down, but we still left Texas number one after the weekend. Following Longhorns, we're sticking with Stanford, who had a 2 out of 3 series win over Cal State Northridge over the weekend. Arkansas, number 3, another come from behind series win for the Razorbacks, followed by Florida State and Vanderbilt. The top 10 is rounded out by LSU, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma State. To catch the rest of the top 50, head over to our website, which is collegebaseball.info. I want to talk a little bit about upsets, because this weekend, I think, was heading into Pac-12 play and ACC play, and maybe some teams started looking ahead to conference play. But where do you want to start? You want to start with what happened in Arizona with Texas State taking 2 out of 3 against the Wildcats?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Texas State had just entered our rankings at number 50 heading into last week, while Arizona had done some pretty nice early season results, including wins against Texas Tech and Oklahoma. In that 3-game series, Arizona actually won game one. Texas State won the next 2 games pretty comfortably. So Texas State shoots up their rankings, Arizona slips down a little bit. And I think it's going to set up, I think one thing that sets up really interesting is that Texas State plays Texas this week in some midweek games. So that's going to be really fun to see how Texas does having being one starter, let's say, weaker in their depth because they had to pull a guy on into a spot start on Sunday. So I think that's going to be pretty exciting to see if the Bobcats can add to their ever improving resume right now.
What if they throw Tanner Witt on Wednesday, just to I don't know. Maybe he's feeling better now, but like I would imagine they're going to hold him out, but that would just be a little unfortunate because Tanner Witt's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, they're going to save him. They're going to South Carolina next weekend. Yeah. If he has any soreness, I think they're not going to want to pitch him twice in 1 week.
For sure. Are there rumors about what it was? Is it just
the like throwing arm soreness?
Oh, okay.
It seems like incredibly precautionary, but
yeah,
sometimes throwing arm soreness turns into Tommy John. So
right,
or a labrum tear or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was an impressive win for Texas State. I mean, on the road at an Arizona team that we were pretty high on. I think we had them like second or third in the Pac-12, depending on the week, because Oregon State's been steadily rising. But
sneaking up.
Yeah, but Ohio State was the team that Texas State had before, and Texas State swept them. I know it's like it's a northern team. It's a bit early still for a northern team, but like we still think Ohio State is middle of the pack in the Big Ten, which I don't know. They recruit pretty decently. They also beat Wichita State at home early on in the season too. So
yeah,
it's a pretty impressive resume so far. And yeah, see, hopefully they can build on it on a home and home this week against Texas, and then other fun in-state competition later on.
Yeah, Sun Belt as a whole is kind of a little bit of a question mark. We also have South Alabama in our rankings. But I mean, you always got at least have in your mind, somewhere in the back of your mind, the fact that Coastal Carolina is probably going to be pretty good and has been at least going toe-to-toe with some of the big names. And I mean, almost the whole conference at this point, just a couple teams in the conference that are below 500. So Sun Belt is looking to make some moves in the non-conference play so far.
Absolutely.
All right. I think though, like, I don't know. Maybe you saw this coming. I knew Northeastern could pitch, and we had them in our top 50 heading into the beginning of the year. They didn't, had a little bit of a slow start. Not shocking for a wintry weather school. I did not have Northeastern sweeping NC State.
No, I don't think anyone did.
If you told me that NC State struggled offensively against Northeastern, yeah, I would have bought that. But I mean, with the Tommy Tanks and the rest of the NC State top 10 offense, I would not have expected quite the degree of just domination by the Northeastern pitching staff.
One shutout, one on Sunday, an earned run on Friday. Yeah, that's an impressive display. Like going on the road. And I think held Tommy White hitless on Sunday. Let's see about
it was 2 days. 1 for 12 or something on the weekend, I think.
That is hard to do. Not many pitchers will be able to do that.
Yeah. I think I heard on another podcast, this is the first time that a non-conference team has swept NC State at NC State in like 20 years or something. So
wow.
Doesn't happen very much. And Northeastern is riding high after a very impressive weekend series. And something that's, as we speak, still going on, currently bottom of the ninth, Gonzaga is up 2-1 over Oklahoma State with two outs. So the Zags are, one out away from sweeping at Oklahoma State. And I think what this does a really great job of representing is we are officially at the point in the season when the transitive property falls apart, because Oklahoma State won a series at Vanderbilt, and now Oklahoma State is losing the series and is probably, maybe going to get swept by Gonzaga. And Oregon State beat this Gonzaga team in two games, and now how do you figure out where to rank those four teams in comparison to each other? I don't know.
Throw your hands up.
So again, I don't know, this is not just like a little darling mid-major Gonzaga team. They have the guy they throw out on Saturday could touch 100. So like this is a pitching staff that is a really good pitching staff, and I'm very excited to see what they can bring to the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, this will be interesting going forward with Oklahoma State, though, because what I thought was their strength was clutch hitting and power, and they've been really limited this weekend. I mean, like it so far, all three are all of their losses or two of their losses in today is a one run game, have been one run games. And I just figured they'd have the clutch hitting to like not leave runners on base. Like it seems like they have, but yeah,
I think
is it something interesting going forward, or is it just Zaga being really good at pitching? Who knows?
Probably a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of A, a little bit of B, maybe a little bit of C, which is the fact that it was really cold in Stillwater this weekend. The reason why this game's even being played today is because of cold weather. It was so cold yesterday that they delayed the game. So I think that, you know, that always gives the bats a little bit of leeway whenever the weather's that terrible.
That makes sense. Yeah, it says 79 degrees? That can't be right. The website says 79 degrees, but maybe not. Maybe it was yesterday that was really cold. Okay, that's what it was.
My sources are telling me it's 40 degrees right now in Stillwater.
Okay.
And that's Google weather.
That's a great source.
Yeah. All right, so as we finish this conversation, Gonzaga has officially swept Oklahoma State.
Wow. Gonzaga will have a real chance at some more potential transitive property madness because they play a four-gamer at Mizzou this week. And Mizzou, they are still bottom of the SEC, probably the bottom two or three, but those teams can still beat mid to top teams in the SEC like at any point. So we could have another like Gonzaga is better than Arkansas because Mizzou beat Arkansas. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this is the best one I think so far in terms of transitive property. This past weekend, Houston Baptist, coached by Lance Berkman. So hats off to you, coach. Just took 3 out of 4 games at Sacramento State. And you might remember, if you've been following college baseball, Sacramento State just swept Long Beach State. And if you really give yourself a nice little memory test, go a week farther back when Sacramento State took 2 out of 3 on the road at Mississippi State. So that gives Houston Baptist a transitive series win over Mississippi State.
Yeah, we can keep it going. let's see that continue.
I mean,
this year,
Tulane just took a series. No, I guess Mississippi State hasn't won. No, they've won one series. So I guess we can say Houston Baptist has a transitive win over Northern Kentucky as well. But that feels less fun.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, we'll have to see if that provides any more juice later on. And like another early season darling, ECU, got swept early on by Bryant. Bryant has lost 6 straight games on the road to Davidson and ODU. So that makes our early season pick of ECU being that high a little bit sketchy. But ECU did have a good weekend this weekend. I think
they did.
They won 3.
Yeah, they swept the Keith LeClaire Classic, and they also won a midweek against Duke. So they seem to be riding the ship a little bit. Let's go one step farther back. Rutgers swept Houston Baptist week 1 of the season. So Rutgers has a series transitive win over Mississippi State. But Rutgers is 9-1 in true road games this year. That's pretty darn good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hell of an offensive start too. Some of those scores.
Yeah. I was actually just looking at the old Rogue Warriors to start the year, and UConn is 7-0 on the road to start the year. Gonzaga's 5-0. Vanderbilt just did a 4-game sweep at Hawaii. BYU, Florida Gulf Coast, Kentucky, Northeastern Texas are all 3-0 on the road. So some pretty hot starts on the road for those teams, and that's kind of what spells some pretty good RPI success. So don't be surprised to see those guys all pretty high up in the RPI by the end of the season. Let's use now to touch base back on the pick'em. So good week, I would say, all around. You got a little unlucky. I mean, you picked Mississippi State over Tulane, and I mean, that's a little bit of a bad beat there. We haven't talked about it yet, but you probably felt pretty good after you saw Mississippi State won game 1, 19-2.
I sure did. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I got this one in the bag. Mississippi State's right in the ship. Everything's fine. And then even leading into like late in the game, we'll touch on this with Ethan later, but leading into later in the game, I think Mississippi State was up by like 8 or 9. And I was like, that's pretty solid. I think I got this one. And then I turned the phone off. My phone probably died when I was in Vegas, and I checked back later and I was like, what? how did that happen?
Yeah, and unfortunately, when it comes to the Series L, what happens in Vegas did not stay in Vegas. So this was your four-pointer, and you got a zero of those 4 points. You picked right on Southern Miss over the Raging Cajuns, which that was a really tough series, and I think that was a tough pick, so nice job getting the road team there. Dallas Baptist San Diego also had two games to Dallas Baptist, the road team type of series, so you picked that one right. TCU Kentucky, that was just a weird series. They had like a 7-inning game and a doubleheader, and Kentucky got the better of TCU, you missed on that one. On my end of things, Irvine did lose that series to Oregon State, and Oregon State adds another nice series win to their resume. And the rest of mine were the ACC-SEC rivalry matchups. I went all ACC, which I only realized in retrospect. It was a good pick because Georgia Tech did win 2 out of 3 over Georgia. Clemson swept South Carolina, but Florida got the better of Miami. And that was even after Carson Palmquist outdueled Hunter Barco on Friday night. And I was feeling pretty good about going for 4 for 4 on this week, but Florida came back, and you know what, does what Florida does against Miami. Florida just has Miami has a Florida problem.
Yeah, was that a one, like a home away neutral kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah. All of those were those weird series.
Yeah.
All in all, a successful week, especially from my end.
Was an impressive week.
I got 9 out of the possible 10 points. You got 5 out of 10. So that puts me at 18 on the year, and you at 16. So pretty close race still.
Yeah, we're leapfrogging so far this year.
Yeah, I know. This is for all those people at home who really care about this. This is some high drama on this.
Everyone cares about this, John.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look ahead at next week, because next week has a whole lot of action. So we have non-conference series, but we also have conference series and the Pac-12 and the ACC. And boy, oh boy, let's just throw it out there. I have no idea what's going to happen in the ACC. All the teams just feel like, I don't know, any of them could be any of them. Are you ready for this week's pick 'em?
Let's do it. I think I gave you the series first last week, if my memory stands.
That does feel familiar, and even if it's not true, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a series that I absolutely don't want to pick, and that is Notre Dame at NC State. I said, I don't want to touch the ACC with a 19.5-foot pole. NC State is on a 4-game losing streak. Losing that midweek to Campbell and getting swept by Northeastern. But at the end of the day, it's probably not a team that's going to be just a doormat all of a sudden. Like, they still are going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Sam Heifel had a bad start on Friday, and he'll probably bounce back. And but meanwhile, Notre Dame kind of taking care of business, cold weather school that's done everything it's supposed to at the beginning of the year. So,
yeah. It's kind of surprising. We haven't really talked about one of our top 15 teams in Notre Dame.
I know. I keep thinking that. I was like, when is Notre Dame going to do something newsworthy? And it's like, maybe we should. It is newsworthy, the fact that they just haven't had a losing weekend, and like that they're playing at a pretty good clip this early in the season.
Yeah, they haven't played top competition, but they have played on the road for most of it. Like, started in Florida, and they went to Greenville for like other conference tournaments and stuff, and then they had the Cambria College Classic this weekend, and I believe that's the one that's at where the Vikings play.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
With the like 50-yard line still on the field.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
It was an interesting venue.
Yeah. But they kind of held all their Big Ten opponents in check. Illinois, Michigan State, and Minnesota each scored one run against them. So that's pretty good pitching staff that's going to be going up against a pretty good, but a little bit slumping NC State offense. So this is going to be tough. But
the most runs they've given up all year is 5 runs. That's pretty impressive.
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is really impressive. All right. I will go with it's going to hurt me to do this, but NC State. I'm going to go NC State 2 points.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's a home team. That's why I'm giving it fewer points. But it's the home team, with a really good offense. They do say that pitching does travel, so maybe I should go with Notre Dame, who's just been really proven to be consistent in the last several years under Link Jarrett. Is he still their coach? I shouldn't say that. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Which, like, for some reason in my mind, I can't separate Link Jarrett and Travis Jewett. Like, the J last names, like, I don't know.
Yeah. But,
one. But, yeah, he's still – Link Jarrett is still at Notre Dame.
I am switching – I talked myself into switching.
No way. Wow. Yes. Flip-flop right away.
Yeah. That's how close this one is.
You don't have a future in politics, Kyle.
Or do I?
Oh, yeah, maybe it's true.
All right. I will give you, because I don't know anything about this one, Campbell at Liberty.
Yeah, I think heading into the season, I would have thought that this would be a tougher pick, because I think that with Zach Neto and the talent that he brings to Campbell and some of the expectations around what they'd be able to do, I would have been a little bit higher on Campbell. But with what Liberty has done so far, including their series win at Florida, and the fact that Campbell has struggled getting swept by Maryland, which at this point is a Maryland team that's probably pretty good, but Campbell also lost a series to App State. They just had a winning weekend over last weekend. And like we did mention, they did win against NC State in the midweek. So they're a team that I think is going to be competitive, if not still a favorite in the Big South. With that said, Liberty at home, I think this is a sure thing. So let's go ahead. Let's put them at 3 points. Let's put them pretty high.
Okay. I thought you're the way you're talking, it sounded like a 4-pointer.
I mean, I don't want to get cocky and use my 4-pointer right away. Might as well. Like, I don't know. Let's save it. Let's save it.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Here's a fun one. Let's do UTSA at Oklahoma.
Ooh.
Because UTSA is, I think, 9-2 on the year, and Oklahoma hasn't scored like a run in a while. No, that's not true. But they are prone to the shutout at this point. I'm just giving you a series that I don't want to pick because I don't know.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, good luck with this one. I have no idea what's going to happen in this series.
Yeah, me neither. Find out. I believe that I don't know anything, and so at this point, I flip a coin.
While you're flipping a coin, can I raise my Liberty pick to 4-pointer? I do want to go all in on Liberty. Yeah, I'm going 4 points. I realized when I was making my power rankings of these, I had that one as the easiest series to pick, and you just gave me that first. So I appreciate that.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
I guess I can't read your dot dots after all. So.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you know this, but last week those were all like false symbols. I had my real ranking somewhere else, and I threw those in there as little red herrings. So
I understand. So it's like when coaches switch up the signs because there's someone from the team
exactly.
Previous year.
Yeah. I mean, I know you live in Houston. Some sign stealers there, or whatever.
Yeah, but neither of us are Astros fans, so that's okay. Yeah, I think I'll go. Okay, I'm gonna go Oklahoma. I don't feel good about it,
but
that's about it.
Out to the ball game rules, you root for the home team.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, I just UTSA hasn't really played anyone.
No, they haven't. That's a thing. They've won a lot of games, but they haven't really played anyone. They beat Stanford in the midweek game. That was something.
Yeah.
But that was like a Monday midweek, and that was after Stanford had just come off.
But I guess if this game does go UTSA's way, it'll be because this offense is hard to tame down. If Oklahoma's pitching is a little bit shaky this weekend, or if the weather is dry and the ball flies really well, then yeah, that's how that game's going.
All right.
My turn to give you
And that one you put at 1 point, right?
Yes, I put that one at 1 point. Because I don't feel good. Nope. Crap. Yeah, I'm sticking with 1 point. Well, I will give you Michigan at Louisville.
I had a feeling you're coming with this one. I like this series. I mean, I don't know if Louisville has done anything to exactly make me feel like this is like, I don't know, the coming back year that I think everyone who's a Louisville fan wants to have. But at the same time, they've taken care of most of the teams that they are supposed to beat. They have wins over Charlotte and, I don't know, won a series against Dartmouth and just demolished Akron over the weekend. So they're off to an 8-3 start. Michigan's at 7-5. And I don't know, you look at some of their losses. They gave up the most runs that Oklahoma scored all year to Oklahoma. They gave up 6 runs to OU. But I mean, they've also been one of those teams traveling around. So they've they had this 4-game weekend in Florida where they won 2 on the road at FIU and 1 at FAU. And it's a type of thing that's like, hey, you look at a Big Ten team at 7-5 early in the season, and you're like, yeah, that's probably where they should be. And this is probably a team that's on track to be pretty competitive in the Big Ten and have a really good shot at making the tournament. So with all that said, neither of these teams strike me as like some gangbusters. These are going to be like my sleeper picks for Omaha. And I'm leaning then towards the old home team route. So let's give me Louisville for this one. And I'm just going to do it down at 1 point because I don't know if I'm ready to say Louisville's back.
That's fair.
All right. I'm going to give you another ACC series. So I'm going to do Florida State at Wake Forest. This one's a little bit, I think, to check my own biases here, because I think now I've become something of a Florida State prophet. I tweeted out that Messick and Hubbard are this year's rocker and lighter, which I just feel like it's like, by all like metrics and comparisons, they're nothing alike in the sense that like, what, 2 righties versus 2 lefties and stuff like that. But what I mean by that is it's just like Rocker and Leiter basically clinched every single series for Vanderbilt last year. It's like, that's what Hubbard and Messick have the ability to do for Florida State. Even if Florida State loses every single Sunday game, like they're going to win a lot of series.
Which they've lost the last 2 Sunday games.
Yeah. And those have been bullpen issues though, which is kind of weird. They've actually had some pretty good starts.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then Wake Forest, on the other hand, is 11-0 undefeated. Mm-hmm. Haven't really played anyone of note. They've been doing a lot of not 3-game series in here, which is why they haven't been picked in this, because we're only doing 3 games for easiness. But I'm feeling pretty confident in Florida State, and I feel like you were like trying to bait me into that. So maybe you think Wake Forest is going to win. But I'm going to go Florida State. I'm going to go 4 points.
Florida State, easy money in this series for Kyle.
Yeah, well, I only have 3 and 4 left, and so I feel like I want to save maybe a little bit harder one potentially for later.
All right, sounds good.
Are we halfway done? Yeah, we are. Nope, missed one. Okay. So your next series. Can you pick for me Oregon at – no, not that one. I don't want you to do that one. I feel like I know who you're going to pick with that one. Southern Miss at DBU. I feel like we've been picking between those two teams a lot.
Yeah, they've shown up. I think that's a credit to how they're scheduling in the non-conference. I mean, I think Dallas Baptist and Southern Miss have consistently been on our radar because they've been consistently scheduling well. So that's what you got to do to be a good mid-major type of team. And, you know, that's where these teams have put themselves in position. So in terms of consistency on the season, Southern Miss has definitely been the kind of cream of the crop. They haven't been tested incredibly hard at this season. And at this point in the season, I would say what they did over the weekend at Louisiana was kind of the best thing that they've done. They also beat Mississippi State in the midweek. So it was a pretty darn good week for Southern Miss. They dropped game 1 there against Louisiana, came back and pitched a shutout on Saturday and won a two-run game on Sunday. If you look at how Southern Miss is going to win baseball games, it's with pitching, and the offense, I think, is something that hasn't quite gotten clicking yet. So we'll see what they can bring to Dallas. Something that I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm obviously worried about, but Southern Miss plays two midweek games against South Alabama and Tulane. So they're playing two top 50 teams in the midweek, and I'm not really quite sure how they're going to be thinking about handling their pitching staff. But I mean, you got to figure those are games that they're going to want to win. They're going to be really nice looking games if they do end up winning those midweek games. So I think they're going to be pretty quick to use some top bullpen arms. But with that said, man, ooh, this is tough because Dallas Baptist, you know, if you had done it before they went to San Diego, travel across the country and won that series, I would have been like, you know what, Dallas Baptist, I'm a little bit worried about them. But you know what, I am going to go with my gut here and go Southern Miss, and let's put it down at 2 points.
Okay.
This is like the first time I picked a road team all season, I think.
Yeah. Wait, you said 2 points?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now this is, you only have one series left, right?
Yeah.
So I've given you a couple of ACC squads, and I want to make sure we get some of these pretty cool looking West Coast series touched on. So I'm going to do Arizona at Cal. I think that this is another one of those. If you'd done it before the weekend, Arizona maybe would have been a clear favorite. But
right.
Cal, I don't know. Cal lost the series at Florida State over the weekend, but they looked pretty good doing it. They did, like, that looked like a regional matchup to me. Like, I've been on the fence about whether or not Cal is going to kind of make that jump. I'm convinced at like this day in the season that Cal is a regional team.
Yeah, and Cal went on and swept that MLB 4 tournament early on in the season where they played San Diego State, who's maybe not a baseball power, but TCU. They beat TCU in getting that game too, and then Houston in the first game, which we'll see about Houston. But yeah, they're a little bit tricky too because they also – Cal also lost to Illinois-Chicago last week, I guess.
Yep.
So, but yeah, okay. I'm going to stick with my gut on this one and go with who I would bet would be the favorite, who I would guess would be the favorite is Arizona. And so that's my three-pointer.
All right.
Arizona on the road. Again. Oh, okay. No, I thought I picked all four road teams again.
No, but this is generally my strategy, is giving you series where I think the road team's the favorite on paper.
Yeah.
All right. It worked out pretty well last weekend. See what happens this weekend.
2-for-2. That's 500. Yeah, that's not
bad. I'll take it. If I go 3-for-4, then I'll work. That'll play.
Yeah. Unless my four-pointer is what wins. Dang you, Mississippi State. So you got a three-pointer left. Let's go with a northern team, kind of in the similar vein, a favorite, maybe favorite team on traveling on the road. UConn going all the way west to Pepperdine.
Easy. Give me UConn in this series.
Okay.
I like this. I mean, I just talked about how the UConn is 7-0 on the road. They are not afraid to play anybody anywhere, and they travel down to Florida, and you know what, going to SoCal is going to be no big deal for them. Yeah, give me UConn in this series. Should mention Pepperdine is 8-3 on the year. I mean, they just swept Cal State Fullerton last week, which I honestly feel like more as a reflection of how much Cal State Fullerton is still rebuilding, more so than it is to say about how good Pepperdine is. But you know, this is a real test for UConn.
Yeah. This UConn offense is, I think they're like 10th in the country in WOBA as a team. I was previewing what we might put up later this week in our WOBA stats, but this UConn team is pretty offensive and like pretty all around just offensive. So that is a good pick by you, but the road, we'll see if their offense will travel all the way out west to the beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
We would be also remiss to not talk about a couple fun series though, Texas at South Carolina, if you want to, and Oregon at Stanford. Those are both, one team has been ranked the whole time, top two teams in the country, versus teams that have been ranked and then kind of fallen out a little bit. But
yeah, I think that South Carolina series, I don't know. I feel like South Carolina is kind of a team on the decline. Texas, though, has only played 3 road games all year, and this is definitely a different environment.
Yeah.
And Oregon just, I'm not a fan of 4-game weekends. Oregon has done 3 of them. In those 3 4-game weekends, they lost a 3 out of 4 to San Diego, swept St. John's, and then just split against Santa Barbara. It's a little hard to get a read on this team, but I think Oregon at least is a solid team. And Stanford has seemed to develop a knack over the last several years, really, at this point, of somehow winning every series exactly 2-1. So if Stanford wins a series 2-1, don't color me shocked. Like, that's my prediction for this one.
Yeah, and it's a home series too, but yeah, that'll be an interesting one. I will be interested to see if that Texas pitching staff can travel out east. South Carolina is, I think they had the potential to be a really good offense. If they can put it all together, I just, this Texas pitching staff might be too much for them.
One last thing I want to mention about what's happening up next weekend is the fact that we have a little bit of a rivalry series. USC and UCLA are going at it, and UCLA, we've already talked about. USC is 9-2 on the year. Like, I don't know. USC, I think, is better, maybe. Like, they've been a team that's been slowly building back talent over the last couple of years. I think this could be a big sort of measuring stick series for the Trojans to see how competitive they're going to be.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate that it has to be this early on in the season. Usually that's like a kind of a late in the season decider, but if USC hasn't really been the team that they've been historically, then maybe it's fine to get out of the way.
Yeah. It sets the tone in conference play.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so up next, we have an interview with Tulane's Ethan Groff, and we haven't actually talked too much about it, but I mean, Ethan Groff played a huge role in Tulane's upset win over Mississippi State, including hitting a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th inning to cap off that 9-run comeback in game 2, and then really helped charge the offense up in game 3, hitting leadoff. He was on base 5 times, 2 hits, 2 walks, and an intentional walk on top of that, so 3 total walks. 6 for 9 on the weekend, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, a bunch of RBI. I mean, the guy did everything for Tulane that you could possibly ask for a guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I thought he was really mature and measured in his responses. It was something that I definitely wouldn't have done as a 19 or 20 year old. I didn't see exactly how old he is, but in college, I would not have been that wise, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's something that is, he'll talk about it as how he's trying to take a measured approach and taking what the pitcher gives him, and, you know, wanting to hit the ball hard, but also, you know, in that hard line drives is going to give him a pretty good chance of getting on base. And I thought that really reflected in how he interviewed. He just seemed like a really level-headed guy that was that has made some huge strides from the 2021 season to the 2022 season. So without further ado, let's give Ethan Groff from Tulane a warm welcome to the podcast. Up next, we have Ethan Groff from Tulane joining us. Ethan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. Just excited to be here and excited to talk with you guys about the team. And it's good to be here. I love College Baseball Nation. You guys do a bunch of cool stuff.
Well, appreciate that. And speaking of excitement, I mean, this weekend, y'all played Mississippi State in what has to be the most exciting series so far in college baseball this year. You were all but out of that series, it felt like, 1.5 games into it, down 8 in game 2 after dropping game 1. Then everything changed, 9 unanswered runs, including a pretty special at-bat from you. Can you just walk us through a little bit that complete turnaround that Tulane had over the weekend?
I think it all kind of dates back to last year when we played them, and we had the lead in the 9th all 3 games and ended up blowing 2 of them. And I think that kind of gave us, you know, that feeling that we can play with these guys. You know, we just need to be able to close out games and, you know, just be more mature in kind of the way we approach finishing games. And so coming into this year, after getting smoked on Friday night, I mean, we played probably our worst game of the year, you know, bad defense, hitting just not there. And I mean, Sins is an unbelievable arm. You know, he's a big league guy, and, you know, we were feeling for him when he had to come out of the game. But going into Saturday, when we were down 10-2, you know, this group just doesn't give up. They're just a bunch of guys that care and they want to be there and they want to win. And so any sort of deficit we have, you know, we feel like we can come back and win. And we had some really good at bats that, you know, got us back in that game. Brady Margot, a freshman, hitting a grand slam. I mean, his first collegiate hit, you know, it's pretty special. And those kind of feelings that you have in the dugout, just with your teammates, and seeing special moments like that happen, just it fuels everybody. And, you know, it gives you that feeling that we can beat these guys. And so, you know, we put it all together and ended up taking two from them. So it's pretty cool.
So I want to talk about your at bat in the bottom of the 10th, but in order to get to that at bat, bottom of the 9th had some pretty special stuff too. I mean, a 2-run sack fly. I mean, that's just kind of absurd stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We're a team that likes to run the bases really well. And that's something we work on every day at practice. And even at times when, you know, we might start to feel like it's a bit monotonous and boring, you know, it's not, because situations like that happen. You know, you hit a deep fly ball and there's a lot of wind and it's tough to catch it. And Gavin just hustling from second to score is, I mean, that was another just really special moment, another freshman getting in there, and the kind of depth that we have, and we can bring guys in like that, that again, they care and they run hard and they hustle. And, you know, that's kind of the team identity that we want to have.
Yeah, run hard is an understatement there. It's pretty ridiculous scoring from second base. So like we referenced, bottom of the 10th, you go up there, hit a walk-off home run. Can you talk us a little bit through your mindset heading into that at bat, what you were looking for, and were swinging for the fences? Was that the plan, or just trying to get on base?
No, you know, I think there's some common misconception there that you go up there trying to win the game. I mean, you know, I'd been hitting pretty well. And so, you know, I kind of thought, you know, if this comes down to me, I hope I get a chance to win it. But, you know, I like to keep my approach pretty simple. You know, I'm just trying to hit line drives back up the middle. You know, I'm the leadoff guy. I'm trying to get on. I'm trying to, you know, steal bases and score runs. And so, but I do have a little bit of power. And so, you know, when I do run into one, I do. And so it was just pretty special that it happened at the right time.
So that Saturday night win was super emotional. How do you bounce back and get amped up to play the series decider, like the road match on that next day, like next morning?
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. And, you know, we like to say as a team, you know, you got to get right back to the midline. You can't get too high, can't get too low. And it's that same mentality from Friday night to Saturday. You know, even though we lost, it's a new day. And so you kind of got to treat every day like it's opening day, and just come out and compete. And so, especially with the series on the line, I mean, that's, even though we had the big win, you know, we didn't want one, we wanted two. And so it's more about winning the series than just winning one game. And even though those guys are, you know, top 10 team in the country, you know, we feel like we're on that kind of trajectory. So it's important to treat every day as a new one and come out and compete and play hard.
So speaking of that Sunday, you were on base 5 times, three walks in there, including one of them intentional. Do you feel like they started pitching to you a little bit differently, or how can you explain what happened on Sunday in terms of your performance?
Yeah. Well, I came out on Sunday and I hadn't swung at the first pitch of, of the game, the rest of the series. And so I did, and I hit the fastball into left field or something. And I knew after that I was going to get a lot of off speed. And so I wouldn't say it was more of a passive approach, but more just being fine and what I was looking for, you know, make them come to me and get the pitches I'm looking for. And so I wasn't really getting a lot of fastballs. And in my third at bat, they tried to sneak one in there and I hit that one out too. So, you know, it's just being, you know, over the years, I mean, just learning to be more mature and kind of, even when you're hot, it's not necessarily about getting hits as much as just taking the balls, swinging at the strikes and, you know, trying to keep it pretty simple.
Yeah. Taking what you can get there.
Yeah.
So in your career against Mississippi State, if my stats are right, you've actually had a hit in all six games against Mississippi State. Yeah. Is there, I don't know, like, is it just rising to the occasion? Is it just
is
a
it
little
personal?
Bit of random there? Like, what's going on there?
No,
is it personal?
Nothing personal. Nothing personal. My dad likes to say that I have this something about me to where rising to the occasion just kind of happens for me. And I think I get that from, you know, my parents and my family, and, you know, they're always there to support me and that kind of stuff. And so I feel even more confident against good competition because, you know, it just, it lights a fire in you and, you know, you don't doubt yourself. You don't do anything. You just got to get in there and compete and relax and, you know, let the game happen. And so I kind of just try to take a pretty relaxed approach towards it.
How did the fan base this weekend at home at Turchin Field, did that like really energize you guys? Like,
yeah, that was awesome to have them come out and be there, especially after Friday. The fact that they kept coming back, and we need that. It's important to get fans there and to make Tulane a hostile environment to play in. You know, like when you go to Dooney Noble Field and you're getting yelled at in the outfield the entire game, you know, it's a rough atmosphere. And
yeah,
so,
they give it to you.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's cool though, you know, that's the atmospheres you want to play in. And we really are just trying to create that at Turchin. Because as we, you know, progress and, you know, kind of go on this trajectory, you know, we're going to be hopefully playing playoff baseball and hopefully at Turchin. And, we're going to need fans there and we're going to need them to be loud and, you know, be rooting for us.
So you're talking about this trajectory and I think the nation is seeing it too. Tulane is 10-2 this year. Your team is moving up the rankings. They were at 24 with us prior to the weekend. We moved you up into the top 20 and you're seeing that with a lot of the national rankings. So how do you handle those increasing expectations around the team and moving forward into conference play, knowing that you might have a little bit of a target on your back now at this point?
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to say, you know, it's good. Expectations, you know, they're out there and there's media and there's noise and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but we just kind of try to not block it out. You know, it's always going to be there, you know, the pressure or whatever you want to call it, but as long as we focus on, you know, what we're doing in practice every day and what we you know, are working on and getting better at, you know, we feel like we can handle any kind of opponent that comes our way. So it's really mostly just about staying within ourselves and being with each other and supporting each other as we, you know, kind of try to make a run at this thing.
I want to talk a little bit about your preparation for the year, because obviously something has worked for you. I mean, you have what, 11 extra base hits, you have more walks than strikeouts, batting .475. I mean, it just seems like things are really clicking for you. Was there something special that happened in the off season? You talked a little bit about your approach so far and kind of taking what the pitchers have given you, but tell us about how you prepared for this year.
I struggled quite a bit last year, and it was pretty hard on me. And I think for a while I had kind of stopped focusing on the things that were important, and just kind of getting back into loving the game and just enjoying being out there and having fun. I mean, hell, getting to play college baseball is one of the coolest things in the world. And so just kind of a mental more reset and focus on, you know, my teammates and my coaches and those kinds of relationships. You know, you never lose those things. And so focusing on those and, you know, getting to be with those guys every day is the best part of my day. And so really, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into the hitting and that kind of stuff. You know, I spend a lot of time in the cage, and it's you know what I love to do. But really, the support and the love from my family and my teammates and my coaches really just kind of has pushed me in the right direction.
So we are catching you in between class. What class did you just get out of?
I had a finance class this morning.
I hated finance in college.
Yeah, I'm a finance major, so.
Oh, well, you got a lot of those coming.
Yeah.
What's been your hardest class?
My hardest class is probably this, it's like a fund management kind of thing. It's pretty tough, but you know, get to get a good degree. So
yeah, how's that turnaround from playing a weekend series, thinking all about the baseball, probably have some homework in the back of your mind and have to show up to class Monday morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the side of college baseball people don't see is, you know, we're in class every day. We're, you know, before we play Mississippi State, we're in class and we're doing homework. And I've got two presentations this week that I need to start working on. But yeah, you know, it's, we like to say it's not a grind. You know, you get to get a good degree, you get to go to class, you get to, you know, play baseball at a high level. It's really a special thing to do.
I got one last question before we let you go. So
the most important one so far.
It's kind of a fun one.
Yeah. Oh boy.
What did you have for breakfast this morning, and what would you have had if you had the time and ingredients to make the ideal meal?
Ooh. Well, this morning I had eggs and toast.
Nice. Solid pretty stuff. Simple.
But my ideal breakfast, is that the question?
Yeah. Just like if you had any, like the time and the ingredients, like whatever you want.
I would probably say some sort of like chorizo, egg, pepper scramble. And nice. Then maybe like some avocado toast.
Ooh, wow. Coffee. Throw some hash browns in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a big, nice breakfast is,
yeah.
Yeah.
That always that's like a $20 breakfast right there.
There's plenty of places in New Orleans that'll do it though.
Absolutely.
Great food.
All right. Well, Ethan, thanks for joining the podcast. We appreciate your time and best of luck with the rest of your season.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, go to the rating part of your podcast listener. Give us a 5-star review if you don't mind. And leave a rating. That's going to really help us get out the word about the podcast. Also, if you haven't already, follow us on social media at collegeballnat and check out our website, collegebaseball.info. Until next week, have a great week. Go watch a lot of college baseball, and we'll see you next time.